and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, May 15th, 2026 edition. Your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us every Friday in the second hour, Pastor Chatfield comes on and gives us a history lesson. Today he's got the Spanish Civil War. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
Very good, very good. We'd love to get a little bit warmer weather, but we're getting there slowly but surely.
I apologize. My wife, one of my grandchildren, somebody took my adapter, so I'm just doing this without my headphones on, so I hope this works. But
you're sounding very good.
Okay, so I don't know a lot about the Spanish Civil War. We're studying we just finished a week or two ago in our history class the World War II. Generally speaking, we say World War II began September 1st, 1939, when Germany invaded Poland. And I've reviewed all this, how the Germans and the Soviet Union signed a non-aggression pact in August, basically deciding they were going to take Poland. Poland was going to cease to exist as a country. Now, Poland had only existed as a country since World War I, but the world kind of knew by that point that war was coming. And even Britain and France warned Germany, hey, you invade Poland, we're going to declare war on you. And war came. That is the way it is. Hitler still didn't think that France and Germany would step up, but they'd seen enough with all the things with the annexation of Austria, then the annexation of the Sudetenland of Czechoslovakia, then the annexation of all Czechoslovakia. It was obvious now that Hitler's intention was to give his what he called elbow or living space. There's a German word for that. Living space. And there were a lot of, there was a large German-speaking minority in Poland. So that's generally when we say the war came. However, you know, we could go back before that in how the Japanese had invaded China and something called the Rape of Nanking. The Japanese were especially cruel to the Chinese before the full envelopment of World War II. Very cruel, the Japanese to the Chinese. And Japan was the strong power at that time, not China. Before World War II, Japan was much more powerful. So, however, what was going on in Spain? Spain is one of those countries that never did really officially join the war. What had happened in the 19... We'd say the Civil War started in 1936 and ran to 1939 in Spain. And you'll see why I'm talking about this. There was a referendum. A lot of people wanted to get rid of the monarchy in Spain. And so referendum, and yes, they did. And the what we would say now, I don't know what we'd say, the left won the election narrowly against the right. But the left included those that wanted some sort of Republican form of government. There were socialists, there were communists, and there were anarchists, all on the left. We call them the left. Now, those that wanted to maintain the king, the monarchy, they were mostly the Roman Catholics, the Catholic Church, and the far right, the fascists.
Perfect spot for a break. We'll leave it right there with Pastor Chatfield. We'll continue on the other side. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's good words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the good words book by Rick Randall.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
The W-Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W-Tax Group today and get experienced nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Discussion about the Spanish Civil War just before World War II. Pastor Sheffield, pick it up right where you left off.
Okay, so it was a referendum. and it went nearly to what we would call the left. But the left, when you say left, who were the left? Some of them were wanted what we call a liberal democracy or a Western democracy. And sometimes, you know, the word liberal is used in the historic sense. It's not what we view it today, but kind of, you know, westernized. Let me just say, it reminds me of Cuba. The Cuban Revolution was eventually taken by Castro, but there were a lot of Cubans that didn't want Batista, the monarch, to continue, but they didn't want communism either. But whoever gets control of the revolution seizes power, and once you get the military on your side, you're going to win. That's kind of what happened in Cuba, too. And happens in a lot. It's what happened in the Russian Revolution. There were people that didn't want the Tsar in Russia in 1917, but they weren't Bolsheviks either. And so then you ended up having a civil war after that. I mean, there's a lot of factions in this. So I'm just trying to explain this. I don't know if I'm doing a good job or not. But so you've got on the right, you had the Catholic Church. You had monarchists, and you had the military. They were dominated by the Roman Catholic Church and belief in God. Then on the left, you had some that didn't want a king, and they were socialists, and others were communists, and others were anarchists. And so when this referendum came, the military, it was a coup d'etat. They said, we're not going to abide by this. We're not going to abide with that. And then, so they tried. We had a civil war in Spain. And so the military, led by Francisco Franco, he was a Spanish general. He took control of the military and it led what we'd call the right wing, the fascist wing, if you would, the nationalist wing, if you would, against the communist. And so you had two different, what you had really is two different coalitions, groups that were fighting each other. Franco wasn't going to go back to the king. We're going to have a military dictatorship. So when this war began, Franco was friends with Benito Mussolini in Italy and Adolf Hitler of Germany. And the Spanish military, which was dominated by Franco, the bulk of the guns and the weaponry was controlled by them. And Hitler and Mussolini saw this as an opportunity to exert some influence, and they helped Francisco and the nationalists. Now, on the other side, the Soviet Union was for what you want to call them, the left Republicans, the Republicans. And again, don't think of the term like a Republican Party, just the more Western. But there were, in this whole coalition, there was all sorts of different groups. And so, but they were aided by the Soviet Union. So when the war broke out in 1936, via a military coup, the Popular Front government, which was, I'm going to say, duly elected, but it was close. You had a divided Spain. The nationalists, which were really the rebels in this case, if you want to call the election valid, they held parts of the South and Northwest, while the loyalists, Republicans / socialists / communists / anarchists, they controlled pretty much Madrid, Barcelona, and the major cities. And what did this civil war became, what is known in history as a proxy war. This was between Germany and Italy that were supporting Franco and the nationalists, and then the Soviet Union, which was giving some aid to the Republic, so-called. And so they fought. Franco's forces, basically, they better organized, better weaponry, more support from Italy, more support from Germany. They gained the upper hand, and eventually they broke through, and they won the Civil War when Madrid, the capital, fell in 1939. Now, one of the big downfalls of the Republic, so-called, was that their whole coalition began to split apart. The anarchists, and what's an anarchist? Somebody doesn't believe in law, basically, at all. It's, in a way, a theoretical, pure communist would be an anarchist, theoretically. It's never actually happened. In other words, the communism says, well, if we have a pure communistic state, everybody gives and gives alike, the state itself will melt away and we'll all live in one happy utopia. It's never happened. Never happened. I mean, that's kind of Marxist idea. Lenin talked about during the Russian Revolution, the dictatorship of the proletariat. In other words, he said, before we can get to that pure communist state, the workers, we got to have a dictatorship. And we need the Soviet. The Soviet is a union between the military and the workers. And the fact is, we all know, in a communist state, there's no freedom. I mean, whether you're a socialist or communist, the more communist, the closer you get to socialism and hence communism, the less freedom you have. All history teaches that. And those people that are in New York City and elected a socialist mayor, they just don't understand it. Socialism always ultimately takes your freedom. Always. And the more left it is, the worse it is. I think that is so borne out by history that you just got to be totally ignorant of history to think that we're going to have a socialist state and we're going to move toward communism. We're going to have all these civil liberties at the same time. Does not happen. Has never happened. It has never happened. Okay. So, but eventually, because of the better leadership and the better military, and they got more help from Germany and Italy, Franco and the nationalist forces, they prevail, and they win. Okay, so you've got, and most of them were Roman Catholic Christians, and they were patriotic, and they wanted a national government, and they turned against the left. But they also turned toward Hitler and Mussolini, although Franco never really completely joined World War II, but he was, you know, kind of, I guess we could say, he was cheering on Hitler and Mussolini, but never really got involved in the war. And the United States, Britain, France thought it better just to kind of let that sleeping dog lie. In other words, okay, as long as Spain isn't really going to get involved in this, we're not going to attack Spain. I mean, there was a discussion even, you know, how June 6, 1944, because I wondered about this myself and I tried to look this question up. Why didn't, instead of invading the Normandy in France, which was in during World War II, which was so heavily fortified, why didn't they just go around and invade in Portugal or invade in Spain? Answer being, it's just too long of a march, too many mountains. It was just, it couldn't be done. Yeah, you had to invade in France. You couldn't swing around France and invade Spain, but it was very, very lightly guarded. But it wouldn't work. So this civil war eventually ended up with a dictatorship of Franco for 36 years, and he controlled the country from 1939 until, I think it's 1975.
Wow.
Back when I graduated from high school. So he was a dictator. In my memory, he was. During the Spanish Civil War, 500,000 to 1 million people died. There were a lot of deaths. Civil wars are almost always the worst. And I realize that our Civil War was 600,000. Civil wars are bad. And there might have been more killed in the Spanish Civil War. The only saving grace, and I think this is true, I don't know how many historians would agree with this, there were a lot of Christians in the United States after the Civil War, Southern and Northern. And even though the South They were much of the South was embittered. It wasn't all embittered. And they knew by their Christian faith that they have to get along and try to love their Christian brethren. And even though there was still embedded racism in the United States, especially in the South, after the Civil War, there's no sense denying that there were Jim Crow laws and systemic discrimination. There was. Okay, that's true. No sense denying it. And there's no sense denying that. But nevertheless, eventually, our country was reunited, and so is Spain. But civil wars are exceedingly bad, and that's kind of the nature of anybody's ever wondered. Well, where was Spain? Were they on the Axis side or the Allies side? Well, they were more friendly with the Axis, and they were, but they never really actually completely joined in the war. And so that's kind of a summary of the Spanish Civil War. Now, here's my point, and that's there's a lot of other illustrations of this, but it's really struck me. On the one side in the Spanish Civil War, you had the Roman Catholic people, the theists, people that believed in God, that were more religious. You had the military, and you had the monarchists, people that wanted the king. On the other side, you had the communists, the socialists, the anarchists, and people that wanted a republican form of government. They wanted a constitutional democracy. Here's the issue, and this is just the way it is. If you're in Spain during their war, you know what you have to do, Randy? As terrible as it sounds, take a guess. What am I thinking of? What do you have to do?
Totally dominate. You have to just basically overrun them and win the thing, win the conviction, and absolutely convince the people that's the way to go.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I'm a moderate Roman Catholic, but I'm also somebody who believes in a republican form of government, and I don't want the monarchy to continue.
Sure.
Okay, let's say that's me. Which side do I fight for? So what am I looking for?
That I have no idea where you're going with that.
Okay, here's where I'm going. You have to pick a side.
Pick a side, yes.
You just have to pick a side. Now, here's the problem. I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not an anarchist. The leftists, they were the ones that dominated that part of it. So I either got to, if I pick a side, if I pick the left, and there was a contingent that wanted a constitutional form of government, align myself with the communists in the Soviet Union, or I can go the other direction and align myself with Franco, who was closely buddied up with Hitler and Mussolini.
Dictators.
Now, where do I go now?
Right.
I have no good choices here. And there's just a lot of people, and this is true in politics, it's true in war, it's true all the time. I mean, this is just always the way it is. In revolutions, man, you want to pick, by the way, when you say pick a side, you know what side you should pick? The winning side. Because no matter what, if you pick the wrong side,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble when the war's, if your side loses, you're in deep trouble. And so the people that are in the middle pick sides. That's the nature of civil wars. And it's kind of the nature of politics, too, in a way.
Absolutely. Excellent spot for a break. Bottom of the hour news, hour number two. We'll be right back.